Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York City. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Phil Svitek and Deidre Bayer. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi everyone, I can't wait to break down all the drama tonight, but as we established last week, we have replaced Phil with the incredible Jackie, so it's me, Jackie, and Deidre, the girls' trio, Charlie's Angels, as I referred to us last week, breaking down all the Roni gossip. So, guys, I can't wait to get into it. First, I just want to quickly mention Maria Menounos' wonderful book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life. It's great for graduations, which are going on throughout the next couple of weeks, because it has wonderful tips on organization, makeup, travel, work, and everything in between, as she said. And before we get into all of the drama, Phil, I believe you had a couple words before you leave your hosting duties to Jackie.
Yes. Thankfully, I am being replaced by Jackie. We got to put Jackie's name in there. Mari, what are you doing? Why do you always put my name in there? I try to get out.
I know. I wish that you developed a Roni passion like us girls, but I just lost on you.
When I walked in the studio and sat down here, Deidre had a big smile. She's like, "You're doing it." I'm like, "No." But I have this to say. For those of you who are listening to AfterBuzz, I want you to know that we are all volunteers. We are in the business. We have a passion for the industry and the entertainment field, and so we want our voices to be heard. And so everything that we do here at AfterBuzz TV, we're all volunteers. We give our time, we give our money. And so the only thing that we ask of from you, our fans that are listening right now, is not for money for this. It's just eyes and ears. So if you're listening, tell your friends about AfterBuzz TV and spread the word, and also give us feedback at info@afterbuzztv.com, or send us a tweet or comment on Facebook, whatever it may be. However you got to get to us and spread the word, do so, please. And that is the message I have.
Well, I think that is wonderful, and I hope that our viewers and listeners will tell more people, because I think that we got some good spin, good take on all the Roni drama. And girls, are you ready to get into it?
Yes, I am.
I am ready.
Okay. So let's first talk about Ramona's photo shoot. And can I say, when she models, when she's on the runway, when she does photo shoots, like, the hilarity will ensue. Those eyes are just insane, and I want to get both of your opinions on this, but the fact that her assistant called her a young Pamela Anderson, I was like, really? So Deidre, what did you think of that photo shoot?
I mean, I damn near had a heart attack. It's pure entertainment and pure comedy. She goes into, like, Ramona alien mode, and her eyes are bursting out of her forehead. You can tell that she's a little nervous. I remember her saying something like, "I need Sonia to get here to calm me down with her laughter and whatnot." I just think it's funny, though, that last week in Gossip, we discussed that she had dissed Bethany when Bethany had made that that big transaction with her company. Now that Ramona is trying to kind of follow in her footsteps, she kept saying, "I'm the face of my line. I need to be, active in the promotional process of it." And then there she was dissing Bethany last week. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think,
Jackie,
you know,
what do you think?
I think a few, first of all, as a model, looking at her doing her photo shoot with those eyes and hearing her assistant tell her she looks like a young Pamela Anderson, with real fashion people, they're going to tell you like it is. Even some of the best models need help with their facial expressions, and I just wish the people in the room would have been honest with her and given her some good direction, because hopefully they did and we just didn't hear it on camera, but you can't let somebody think they're looking good when they're making those eyes.
Jackie, as a model, I'm just curious, what would you have told her? Like, what sort of instruction would you have given her at that point? Because she was looking pretty freakish.
I think the best thing that they could have done was take a break, have a little pep talk. The photographer, hopefully, maybe, or somebody on set could sort of, you know, give them some pointers, calm them down, and just revamp, get back on set, and just start fresh. To get the energy, you know, a change of energy. But she really needed somebody in that room, not telling her she looked like a young Pam Anderson, but sort of giving her some advice. And even Sonia told her bedroom eyes look great on her, which, you know, sometimes honesty is just a better policy.
Yeah.
Well, you know who will be very honest with her, and who I guess maybe should have been in the photo shoot because she would have told it like it was, is Cindy, because Cindy and Jill, I want to get your take on this Ramona hate fest. I mean, I thought it was crazy. So Jill came over. All of a sudden, as we see in this episode, Cindy and Jill are BFFs. They're the same age. They both grew up in Long Island. The only difference is, besides being the same age, one just has newborns and the other is a grandmother. But they basically sit around the kitchen table and just bash Ramona. And what is this? Last episode, it was a Ramona hate fest, and this was even more so. They were basically, Jill was saying she was so happy that Cindy was willing to go up against her. She was saying that all her friends accept her for being a psychopath, and her friends are scared of her, yet they go back to her. And then Cindy claimed her inner core is not good. And, of course, Jill took all of this information with open arms because it made her feelings of hatred against Ramona, I guess she felt validated knowing that someone else felt that way. So, Deidre and Jackie, I want your opinion, and I think we have some of the ladies, the Housewives blog posts on what they were all talking about here, but what did you think of this, her inner core is not good?
I mean, I think that's a really, really harsh statement, something that I don't know if necessarily was merited by Ramona's behavior in the past. I mean, obviously she's a little kooky, but I think I sort of touched on this last week. I don't think she's a bad person. I just think she does things without thinking about how others are going to interpret it. To say that she has a bad core, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think Jill, I believe Cindy said that. They're just coming from a place of frustration. And I don't know if that was maybe the best way to put it. I don't know. What was your take on that, Jackie?
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting because this is really Cindy stepping up now, and I believe Ramona brought her into the circle, right? And it's almost like Mean Girls where, you know, Rachel McAdams brings in Lindsay Lohan and she kind of takes over and goes crazy. And I feel like it's almost like Cindy coming in now trying to, like, take over the group and, you know, cause some trouble for the Queen Bee Ramona. And I think it's pretty over the top for me. Like, the inner core statement, I agree. I think it was, you know, maybe Cindy's getting in over her head now. I think that was pretty strong. I like the fact that they're willing to take a stand for what they believe in, and if they, you know, truly don't think she should be getting away with what she has been getting away with. But I think that was a little dramatic. Maybe Cindy's turning into, like, a little too much of a mean girl all of a sudden now. But even, you know, on their blogs, they, you know, Alex came up to Ramona's aid and said, you know, maybe you need to look at your inner core, Cindy. So I think it's pretty interesting. She's definitely riling up the gang now.
It's very reminiscent of Mean Girls for me, seeing, you know, the innocent sweet girl come into the mix, and now she's sort of exhibiting that same mean girl behavior that she doesn't like in Ramona. I think it's all really interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, and I just want to share for our listeners some of their blog posts. Ramona said, "Can't they just say it to my face?" She was shocked because she was the one who introduced Cindy to everyone. And she said, she wrote, quote, "What surprised me more is how Jill jumped in and added all of her negative comments about me to Cindy. What's up with that?" And Jill countered, I mean, basically she said, why would we accept someone who makes so many condescending remarks and offers little respect to anyone? She said, "I didn't want to gossip about Ramona, but when someone starts talking, well, it was hard to sit there and say nothing."
Yeah, totally.
Especially about that.
Especially coming from Jill, who feels so put off by Ramona, especially this season. I think if you're in a situation, like she said, where people were bashing the person who has been repeatedly hurting you, I think it's definitely tough to not chime in and want to agree. And I think Jill takes comfort in the fact that she's not alone. Cindy also feels like victimized by the same behavior. So I think they're enjoying the fact that they can rely on one another in this situation.
Right, and you knew that something was going to happen now that sort of they have each other's back, kind of, so they have more confidence to stand up to her. It's kind of no surprise how this episode ended up.
Totally.
Yeah, I think this was just a foreshadowing of the Jill-Ramona big rift and the even bigger rift between blondes and brunettes. But before we get into the rest of the drama, I just want to talk a little bit about Cindy and her baby daddy, Kevin. When he was introduced, I have to say I was pretty surprised because, first, I don't know why, but for some reason I just thought with her age and her being single that it was artificial insemination and it was like she was a busy mom and she just decided she wanted to have a kid, so she did it on her own. But then this mystery dad was revealed, and it was revealed they had a complicated relationship back and forth, and they actually were together when she gave birth and then broke up. So that all just kind of surprised me. I mean, I'm happy that there's a father, but I was pretty surprised by that. Do you guys have any take on that?
I mean, am I crazy when I think that she said in a previous episode that, you know, she felt like she was getting older and that she wanted to be a mother, so she just went ahead and you know, did the whole single mom thing? Didn't she say something to that effect?
That's why I thought it was artificial insemination.
Me too, and I don't think we're crazy, so I don't know if she might have said something that maybe was miscommunicated or was misleading, but I was completely under the same impression you were, Mari. He was definitely surprising, not the kind of guy I thought she'd go for. He seemed sort of laid back, and I feel like she's got a really quick tongue, and she's from downtown, and she's a city slicker, so I was sort of expecting like a Mr. Big type of guy for her. What I thought was most hysterical, though, is when he was holding the child upside down and dropped the poor girl on her head. Did you guys notice that?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, all new dads. All new dads.
I'm sorry, Phil. Still listening,
I mean, right. I just thought it was hysterical the way that Cindy reacted. She was like, oh, please put the child down. You don't handle the child like that. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think we were the only ones surprised by this reveal because in the after show, actually, a caller called in. Cindy was on the after show right after the episode aired, and the caller was kind of like, I thought you were a single mom. What happened? And she said, there's no rule book on this. Him seeing the kids once or twice a week, to me, is being a single mom. And I do agree with her. I grew up with divorced parents, and when you don't have a father there next by your side every single day, I do consider her to be a single mom, but I think we were all a little under a different impression, that's all, so it was surprising. And you want to feel for her, you want to be sympathetic, especially with that scene that you just said, Deidre, but then she has so many nannies and so many staff members taking care of the kids that it's kind of like hard to be completely sympathetic to her, but I can certainly understand her situation, obviously, personally growing up under similar circumstances, but she just has so much help, and so it's hard to be completely sympathetic to her.
Yeah, she definitely has a lot of nannies, and that's something I noticed in the episode when Jill came and visited, but, you know, you never know what the situation is like until you're in it, and she does have two babies, and she can afford it, and she works a lot, so, you know, that's a sticky situation to whether to to judge someone or not. She definitely did have a lot of help. But I want to get into Sonia's masquerade ball because we have a little inside connection here at AfterBuzz TV. Phil or Jesse, can I get an AfterBuzz TV exclusive? Perfect timing. Thank you very much. So Jackie, you actually know Chris Marks since you were a model on Project Runway. He was on Project Runway. And Chris, of course, is Sonia's fabulously gay masquerade ball designer. Can you share with us listeners the inside scoop on Chris Marks?
Well, he was, you know, first of all, working with him, he was always good for a laugh. He definitely is a comical character in real life, I must say. And it's no surprise that he works on costumes. And I know for Project Runway for him was his big breakout role, obviously. He had worked for 10 years on stage shows creating wigs and costumes and whatnot. So no surprise that this was his role on the show tonight. But, you know, he was definitely one of the more interesting characters. He was actually brought back on the season after another cast member left. So he had a lot of people's hearts there. And, you know, he's definitely a very talented costumer. That's his you know, real call to fame. Since then, he's actually dressed like Meryl Streep for the Academy Awards, and she was on the Best Dress list. And he actually also is said to be on a new Bravo show coming out soon. So he's obviously within that Bravo family and, you know, stayed there.
You know what? I'm not surprised that you say that he's on a new Bravo show, because Bravo loves to kind of, like, cross-network their stars. So the fact that he came in as this designer, that doesn't surprise me.
Right. I believe it's Mad Fashion, and it's coming soon. He teases to it on his website. And I think that'll be very interesting to see him in his next reality role.
Jackie, as someone who knows him, what did you think about his embellishments to Sonia's costume?
Well, I thought, honestly, I had to laugh because it brought back memories of sort of like, it almost felt like it could have been a challenge on Project Runway where you have to remake the costume. And I just had to laugh when Sonia's comment on the wig that it looked like a poodle was on top of her head.
Yeah.
Because I felt like Michael Kors or Nina Garcia should have been standing there saying that.
Oh my God, how funny.
But I did, okay, you know, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
No, I think it was almost like a Project Runway challenge. I think he did a good job, but I think there were some comments that could have been called out. Sonia did a good job with it, though.
Yeah, so now let's give our take on everyone's fashion, play a little fashion police here at AfterBuzz TV. So let's start with Sonia. Personally, I thought Lady Morgan looked amazing in her costume, except for the whole missing peacoat. I mean, her ass was, excuse me, but I'm not sure if we do the whole bleeping thing, but it was totally out. And you know what, though? It was a mistake, and I didn't like how the other girls were all like, oh my God, she's too old to be dressing like that. It's like, whatever. If you got it, flaunt it. If you want to do it and you have the confidence to rock it, then go for it. I know that was a mistake, but I thought Lady Morgan looked incredible. What did you guys think?
I was reading online. I don't want to take credit for this comparison because I didn't create it myself, but reading online, people are comparing Sonia to being the Samantha Jones of this show. And the more I get to know her, I really think that analogy is true. She is like, you know, in this new phase of her life, is recently divorced, and she's got a rockin' body, and she knows it, and she plays it up, and I think that it's awesome. You know, she obviously works hard to stay in shape and eat well, and if you can wear a scantily clad sort of masquerade costume like that, I think more power to ya. Yes, obviously, if you are any age, your behind should not be hanging out in the middle of a party while you're intoxicated. But nonetheless, I thought she looked awesome, too.
I agree, and I like the Samantha Jones comparison. I love that. I think that's dead on. And, you know, I just think it's interesting to hear some of the other girls' takes on this through their blogs, how Kelly sort of on the show was like, you know, when you get to a certain age, you have to cover it up. Meanwhile, Kelly is wearing short, revealing dresses all the time.
Oh, Kelly did Playboy. So
what's that?
Kelly did Playboy. I mean, where is that coming from, that she's all of a sudden Miss Conservative?
Right. And then I like how Alex called her out on her blog saying, you know, Kelly and I have worn shorter. So I think Sonia's costume was, you know, definitely long enough standing up. And, you know, I didn't think there was any harm there. And I agree. You know, she standing up, it's not like she was showing, walking around showing her butt. So, you know, she leaned over. She had a mishap. But I love her confidence. And I definitely agree that it's great for other women to see confident women, for sure.
She only was exposing herself when she was, quote, drunky monkey.
Right. I thought it was chunky monkey. Oh, did she say drunky monkey?
I'm pretty sure she said, oh, I'm a little drunky monkey, don't mind me. And then she proceeded to feel Alex up and compliment her on how great her cleavage looked. Something again Samantha Jones would do.
I will say that Alex, I think, was my best dressed of the evening. I did not even recognize her with the black hair, and she kind of did like a sexy Cleopatra, and you know what? I think she pulled it off.
She really did. I mean, most of the times when you go to these costume parties, you look almost unrecognizable, and she definitely really transformed herself, and she looked awesome. I mean, obviously, Sonia's wig and a few of the other wigs made them look a little kooky as opposed to look hot, but no, Alex was rocking this short black bob like it was her job.
Right. I feel like this was kind of like a Halloween party where every girl tries to use it as an excuse to still look hot, and Alex is my best dressed of the night because she transformed herself, and yet she looked so hot doing it, and I actually really think the black hair suits her. I agree, Mari. So she gets my best dressed award for the night.
So all around, we all
and
vote Alex.
I think she was the best dressed, and I have to give some runner-ups to Kelly and Cindy. I mean, Kelly always looks hot, but her hair looked good, and the rhinestones around her eyes, and I thought Cindy looked hot. And then I quickly have to say I want to get your ups and downs on these people, but my worst dressed one was Ramona, because she basically looked like herself but with a mask on. And then the other was the one who was dissing the party the whole night, Jill. She spent the night dissing the party, but you know what? She was the worst dressed, in my opinion. I did not like that purple dress. I didn't like the curls. And you know what? Jill can stick to those mean comments, but she wasn't showing anything for it. So what do you guys think of those four women?
Mari, I 100% agree on both things you just said. Number one, they showed a scene in which Jill went shopping for a costume, and she was talking about how she was so excited to look for a costume since her breast reduction surgery that she would be able to wear something fun and flirty and whatnot. So I was expecting her to look like a 10 at this party, and that dress was like frumpy and matronly. I didn't like it at all. And then number two, Ramona showing up with her husband in a black cocktail dress. You know, the theme was masquerade. Everybody was obviously decked out from head to toe. Alex being a great example, Sonia being a great example. And for Ramona to come with her husband just looking like they would at any ordinary party, I don't know, did you guys get the impression that she was maybe sort of snubbing the event? Like, I'll come to your party, but I'm not going to, you know, deck myself out.
I'm not sure what her reasoning was behind it, but I'm not for people who don't get into the game. You're going to a costume party, you know, get into it, dress up like everybody else. So for me, Ramona and Jill both make my worst dressed of the night for different reasons. At least on the upside, Jill tried, but it just unfortunately didn't work. And I have to think that maybe that's why she was dissing the party. Maybe she was a little disappointed when she saw everybody else. But Ramona just equally gets the worst dress for the night because she didn't try, and she could have been at really any party in that outfit. And I agree, Cindy and Kelly were runners-up. They were playing it sort of a little safe in the middle, looking great, but Jill and Ramona are tied for worst dressed, obviously, for different extremes.
And I have to say, Jill was my worst dress because I think it's worse when you try and you fail. And I think, I don't know, after this episode, I'm on a little Jill dislike streak. I don't know. So I'm saying this because I'm reading my notes on the next scene when her and Cindy go to the dentist, and she's so abrasive. First of all, since when are they BFFs? And second of all, it's like Jill was so annoying. She was calling all of the shots and telling the dentist exactly what to do. And I don't know. I just feel like Jill is a little bit too abrasive. What do you guys think?
I mean, I completely agree. I think it's sort of my way or the highway. She thinks that she's the queen bee of the group. And I think things have sort of shifted over the past couple of seasons. Even just really quickly going back to the masquerade party, I love how she was like, you know, Sonia said she was throwing a ball and I was expecting, you know, the this and the that and 500 people and a band and blah, 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 blah. Like nothing's ever good enough for her. Like the party seemed like it was good enough for everybody else. But like you just said about the dentist, you know, of course, it's Jill's appointment, more or less. She's the one talking about, you know, why Cindy wants to get the veneers and what they should be doing and blah, 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 blah. I mean, Cindy barely even got a word in at her own appointment. I thought that was definitely very tacky and you could tell Cindy was bothered by it.
Right. I'm actually glad the dentist told them all to shut up at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught that. But that's exactly what they needed. They just needed Jill to shut up. And I understand that, you know, I grew up on Long Island, too. So I totally get these women and that overbearing sort of because you love somebody kind of thing. Because in the after show on Bravo, Cindy actually did say that Jill's very sweet, so she obviously didn't step on her toes too much to a point that she held it against her. But no matter what, I just don't want my friend ever, or family member, whoever they are, calling my teeth chiclets and horse teeth, and, you know, it's just too abrasive for me.
Totally. And Jill thinks she's the expert. I love when she said, my family, we're like MDs without licenses. You know, I understand that it comes from a place of love and she wants Cindy to have the smile she's always dreamed of. But by the same token, if you're there for moral support, be just that. You know what I mean?
I agree. The thing is, I think what bothered me most about Jill was she came back from Australia and said she didn't want to be involved in the drama anymore. She didn't want to gossip anymore, and for some reason, I believed her. And I thought, you know what, she was off the show for 2 weeks. She's calmed down. She had a bad season with Bethany last season. And I thought we were going to see a different side of her, especially when she was apologizing to Alex. I thought I saw her turn a new leaf. Yet in this episode, she reverted right back to, like, she's just very abrasive. And you know, the dentist scene, you know, okay, she had good intentions and just came off abrasive, but I think her behavior at Ramona's Pinot Grigio launch was, it was ridiculous. I just really thought her behavior was reprehensible. And so let's get into that. This was a big drama of the episode, was the Jill Ramona fight. And so basically it all stems from this wedding that we saw in the very first episode of the season. Jennifer, the bride, shows up at this Pinot Grigio launch and she tells Ramona that Jill confronted her at her own wedding and said, why are Alex and Simon here? And then goes into saying that Jennifer and Ramona, why are they even friends with each other? Why is she friends with Ramona? And of course, yet again, there's mysteriously no footage of this conversation, and so we're left with the he said, she said. And this is, Jackie, I have to ask you your opinion on this, just because you've been on reality television before. Do you think there was no footage? Because I find it hard to believe that they didn't catch that, or is it that they're not showing that so that this drama can ensue? I mean, I don't get it.
Absolutely. I think, as we said, whenever you're filming something, there are multiple cameras covering every little, you know, speck of people and square footage. And honestly, even if they weren't on them right away, what happens is if something ensues, everybody, you know, surrounds them, circles them like vultures. So even if they weren't capturing it from the beginning, if something really ensued there, they would have been on top of it. So I do think they're leaving it up to us to decide what we think really happened. But I would love to see that footage somewhere.
And so, Deidre, I want your opinion on this. But basically, Ramona confronts her about this. Jill denies it. And then Jill claims that she invited her only to ambush her and that she has no class to attack her at her own party. I mean, who did you think was right here?
I definitely sided with Jill on this one. I think a few contributing factors ultimately led me to my decision to be Team Jill. And, you know, I'm not Team Jill in the scheme of things, but in this situation I was. Number one, I think Ramona had been drinking a lot, back to the Pinot Polar behavior. Once she starts getting liquored up, obviously emotions are heightened and things just become a little more chaotic than they would be if we had sobriety involved in the picture. And then number two, the brief conversation that Ramona had had with Luann, Luann being somewhat of a wine connoisseur, starts asking her all those questions, and Ramona doesn't know the answer to any of them, and she felt inferior, maybe. She felt definitely a little put off, and she kind of reverted back to the please don't ask me about this. This is my party. We'll discuss the technicalities after. So I think Ramona was already coming from a place of like emotional discomfort. So her timing to have this conversation with Jill, I did not agree with. A conversation that could have been had after the party. For the sake of your own party, have it later. But, you know, just to perseverate upon this short conversation that she had had with Jennifer, I just didn't think it needed to occur at the party. And she just kept badgering her, wanting answers and wanting to know the, you know, the truth, when it seems like Ramona had already had her mind made up about what was the truth. Jackie, what was your take on the whole thing?
You know, each one of them went back and forth for me, whether I thought, you know, one did a good thing, then they ruined it. Then Jill did a good thing, and then she ruined it. You know, for me, the whole Luann, Ramona talk with about the wine, I have to say, Luann bothers me, because I don't want to stand at a party and feel like I'm being badgered by a reporter when you're supposed to be my friend about knowing the answers to these things. I mean, who is Luann all of a sudden to be this wine expert? So actually, for that particular instance, I agreed with Ramona. Like, why are we talking about this now? You know, she should have probably known the answers, but either way, she's right there, you know, as far as handling that situation, I think, with Luann. But then, again, her timing. Here we go with Jill. Who does this at a party? I'm like, oh, here you go, Ramona. You know, you ruined it for me. You do a good thing, and then you ruin it. And, you know, I wanted to agree with Jill in a way, because I felt like she did the right thing by saying, you know, just because you say it doesn't make it true, bring her over here, let her confront me to my face. I felt myself thinking, well, that's exactly what I'd be saying. Yet, I don't know if Jill's telling the truth. And that's where I start to think Jill actually should be listening to her own words, because I don't necessarily believe that she's telling the truth. I do like the way she confronted Jennifer outside, but she was talking over her. And Alex even said that in her blog. She talks over people. So you feel like you're believing her and she is doing the right thing, but then if you really look at it, is she really doing the right thing, or is she just talking so much that she's covering up the fact that she does talk behind people's backs? You know, I was a little torn,
you know,
there.
I have to say, I think that Jill was in the wrong here, because yes, I don't think Ramona should have brought it up there. But in the manner she brought it up, she just pulled her aside and said, you know, this is on my mind. My friend told me you said this. And it is Ramona's party, and I think Jill was kind of the one who blew up. Jill was the one who stormed out in the party and made a big scene. And fine, if you storm out, then leave. I think at one point Jill suggested, why don't we go to lunch and talk about this? I think that was good. So if you suggest that, then stick to that and leave the party. Instead, I see her leaving, and I think, okay, it's over. She goes, confronts Jennifer the bride about it, then goes back inside and confronts Ramona again and tells her that she needs help, and then goes and has this crying, bawling session with Luann, saying Ramona's an evil bitch. She ripped me to shreds in front of my friends. So isn't Jill guilty of the same thing, of ripping her to shreds in front of her friends and at Ramona's own party? So I don't know. I have to say, I think that Ramona, while it wasn't the appropriate situation, wins this fight here.
one thing that I think is to be considered, and I want to get your guys' take on it really quickly. Do you guys think Jennifer the Bride is a bit of an instigator? Because she approached Ramona and was very quick to tell her, oh, yeah, Jill's doing this and doing that. But then when she saw Jill outside the party, they were best of friends all over again. So it's like, what's Jennifer's motive in all of this?
I agree, Deirdre. I almost feel like she was trying to get herself on Real Housewives.
100%. She had her wedding on the show, and now she's becoming, you know, she's getting a little more face time. I think she definitely is trying to integrate herself.
Absolutely. And they actually may be testing her with these little roles here. That's very possible. But I agree. She was an instigator, and then it's like she didn't stand true to her words when Jill was talking to her outside. And I like somebody that stands true to what they say. So I didn't really care for Jennifer's role at all, actually.
No, she's presenting herself
in
an awful way.
I disagree with you guys here again. Because, I think, yes, Jennifer instigated, but is it Jennifer herself, or is it the producer seeing an opportunity for a fight and saying, you know what, Jennifer, you get involved? You know, the producers were there at the wedding. They know the conversation between Jill and Jennifer, whatever may have happened. So I think it might have been more the producers prodding her. But I think that when Jill confronted Jennifer, she didn't back down. She stuck to her story. She didn't back down. She said that Jill said those things.
Well, wait, that's a question for Jackie then. At what point do you let the producers push you around in that sort of a way where you could be, you know, misconstrued by a commoner like me, a common viewer, who might think that she's meddling? Is that a possibility?
You know, especially when you're, like, in a place where it looks like she may be trying to get herself on the show or wants to be involved, you're more willing to let yourself leave yourself at the mercy of the producers. And also, because she hasn't been on the show and this is her first experience, it's actually probably, you know, she doesn't even know what she's getting herself into. So it's sort of like that newbie experience going on with her. And she is probably watching it back saying, you know, oh, I didn't come off the way I thought I did, to be honest.
I just think the whole thing was so sad, the way that it ended with Ramona very obviously intoxicated, screaming and antagonistically attacking Jill, and Jill's hysterically crying and yelling back. I just thought it was very childish, like the whole thing altogether.
I agree. The crying.
I mean, they wouldn't be the Real Housewives if there weren't fights and bawling and drama like this. And we'll talk about what we think is going to happen with the whole Ramona Jill fight in the previews. But let's go to a quick commercial so we can get to that and to our news and gossip.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
AfterBuzz!
Okay, so...
Well, I love that little music there. I'm getting used to the new intros. But can I get a little news and gossip music? Because I got some big news this week.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so you guys might have seen this, but the internet is buzzing today with news that our own show, The Real Housewives of New York City, as we know them, may soon be no more. According to network insiders, Bravo thinks the current cast is too poor, and I literally mean too poor. They want to replicate the mega wealthy cast of its Beverly Hills franchise. As you guys know, on the Beverly Hills season, they have ultra rich women like Adrienne Maloof, Camille Grammer, and Lisa Vanderpump, my personal favorite. And apparently, they want an entirely new cast
that's dripping in glamour and $10 million penthouses, and they are discreetly reaching out to women who fit the bill, as a source. And the thing that I'm questioning is the Bravo rep simply replied, quote, "We are always casting for new housewives in every city." So that's not exactly a denial. So
no, not at
what
all.
What do you guys think of this?
I think it's really sad because there's something to be said about a relatability factor. While these women, these New York women that we've grown to love over the past couple of seasons, while they do lead lavish lifestyles, there is something that is still relatable about them. You know, obviously when I watch Lisa Vanderpump or when I see Adrienne Maloof's $25 billion mansion, that's not something that I can relate to. You know, a nice apartment in Soho or wherever they live in New York, that is something that's relatable to maybe the more average viewer. So I would be so sad to see these ladies leave.
I agree. I think it's so sad that they're not wealthy enough, according to Bravo. I mean, come on. They're already reaching that point where, as you said, they're not relatable for their lifestyle. How much further do they want to take it?
Hopefully not too much further.
And the thing that I don't get is, if they have more money, does that mean more drama necessarily? Because I don't think that's the case necessarily. But the only thing I can think behind this is that there's so many reality shows out there now that they need to differentiate themselves, and it's not enough to be a housewife. You have to be an ultra mega rich housewife for it to be interesting. But I agree with you guys. I think it would be sad if we lost this cast that we've come to know and love, and all of their inner fights and drama that we've been following throughout the past couple seasons.
I think that is something to consider, because with Maloof, she obviously has her big business. With Lisa Vanderpump, she's a restaurateur. Camille Grammer, obviously a celebrity, used to be married to Kelsey Grammer. And then a lot of the New York women are more just, they more are the typical housewife.
And Jackie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it would almost be like Bravo's their first husband, leaving them for younger, better women. I'm attached to these women here, and I would be really disappointed to see them go for, in quote, better women.
Yeah, so I hope we stick with our cast that we know and love personally. But before we get into our predictions for next week, I want to talk about one quick piece of news. Kelly Ben-Simone, who wasn't in the episode quite enough this episode, I think, she signed a deal with St. Martin's Press to write a book tentatively titled I Want to Make You Hot. She wrote, the book is, quote, "Spend 7 days with me and my expert friends, and we'll have fun with exercise, eat better, dress amazing, have more fun, and smile through a life that's too short." That's what she said in her press release. And she hopes to inspire readers to develop a positive self-image. The guide will be Ben Simone's fourth book. It will include over 40 recipes, along with tips on how to live a healthy life and have fun while doing it. Tentatively scheduled to arrive in stores in 2012. And I have to say this because I've read the book and I love it. I think Maria Menounos' Every Girl's Guide to Life is probably an even better guide on getting fit. But I'm looking forward to reading Kelly Ben Simone's book as well.
Me too. I was just going to make the Maria comparison as well. I can't get enough of these lifestyle books. I think everybody has interesting little tidbits of information that can be useful across the board. And whether it's Maria or Kelly giving me, you know, a new recipe or a new beauty secret, I'm open to it all.
I agree. I love getting tidbits of information from women. And as you can see, Kelly's hot. She looks great. And she's lived a great lifestyle. So I'm sure she has plenty to share.
Okay, so let's get into our predictions for next week. And I guess we're not doing the music anymore. I miss that old scary kind of, like, future music.
Halloween music, yes.
But for next week, I think the blondes versus brunettes script is finally really rearing its ugly head. We see Luann siding with Jill and confronting Ramona, and Jill and Luann claim, or insinuating at least, that Ramona's an alcoholic and that all of her drama and fights are Pinot Grigio infused. What do you guys think?
I mean, it definitely looks from the short little preview that we got to see. They definitely edited it to make it look like Ramona has a bit of a drinking problem. The little shot of her at the fashion show where she looks like she's wasted, like rolling her head back. It might be something to consider. I don't think Ramona's actually an alcoholic. I think she's just a girl who likes her Pinot Grigio.
I agree. I think Ramona, you know, it's a trick of the producers here. Alex defended Ramona on her blog, saying that she held the same glass of Pinot Grigio all night. And I have a feeling Luann, the way she's been attacking Ramona for her knowledge on wine and everything like that, I think it's all going to come into play now. That was the foreshadowing of something big to come with Luann and Ramona. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out as well. And I don't know about this whole claiming she's an alcoholic. I think that's a little unnecessary, but we'll see what happens there. But also, I don't think this is going to happen next episode, but I'm really excited for this Morocco trip that they have planned. And I seriously hope that Kelly last minute decides to go, because what would be a trip without crazy Kelly? But as we see next episode, she wants nothing to do with it based off of what happened in St. John's.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that Kelly saying, "I cannot go on a trip with Ramona in her present mental state." That was the second dig in one episode that the ladies took at Ramona's mental health, with Jill telling her, "You need help," and now Kelly claiming that she has severe mental issues. These women are getting really catty.
Yes, and it's funny that you mentioned the Samantha Jones comparison, because this is I feel like this trip is very Sex and the City-ish. And
totally.
I think it'll be very interesting to see the trip play out. But I agree. I think everybody's attacking Ramona kind of the same way Kelly should know, with what she went through with their last trip. Maybe she's trying to put the heat on somebody else, but I have a feeling Kelly's going to end up going. What do you guys think?
I mean, isn't she contractually obligated?
I hope so, too.
I mean, would you guys not die to see Ramona on a camel in the middle of Abu Dhabi with a glass of Pinot Grigio in her hand?
And with the crazy eyes? God.
I mean, I think that's a priceless moment.
Priceless. Crazy
well,
eyes.
Well, I can't wait to break down that episode with you. So I don't think it'll be next episode, but I'm sure there will be tons of drama next episode leading up to this trip to Morocco. And girls, I can't wait to talk about it all with you, and thank you for joining me this episode. This was your AfterBuzz TV for Real Housewives of New York Season 4, and please stay with us next week as well.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.